The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. So many little snippets to talk about even before we get onto the main meaty news that we have thought about talking about. The first thing I wanted to just refer to, Howard, was your interview yesterday, the threesome sort of interview, which was, I know, very, very difficult to try to handle. And just a very, very short comment from my side. The BDS rep was obviously well prepared, and she came with what I thought was a very strong argument. But here is the main crux of the issue for me. While she's trying to present herself and the organization that she represents as being very, very inclusive, not anti-Semitic and not racist and not sexist and all very, very inclusive, and initially set out her stall by saying that their main objective was to support the rights of the Palestinian people, that bit was all very good. And then it went on to say, well, the way that we do that is to be anti-Israel. Supporting something, supporting a cause by being anti another cause seems problematic from the outset to me. If you want to support a cause, by all means, support a cause. Raise money, encourage them, give them the rights, help their people, educate, fight whatever they need to fight. But if your main objective in supporting their cause is to be anti another cause, then I have a certain issue with that. And therein, for me at least, lies the crux of the issue. You want to be supportive of the Palestinian people, they could use your support, they really could. But some of their cause means fighting against their leaders, for example, who are also not particularly helpful to the average Palestinian man in the street. There are so many examples just the latest example, just to throw one out there, Qatar brought US dollars from Qatar to give out to residents in Gaza, $100 each. It was decided to convert the $100 and give it out in shekels because that's the currency that's used in Gaza. The Gazan Authority Administration decided to convert it into shekels at an exchange rate that represented nothing real, live, or known to mankind in terms of how many shekels they receive for each dollar. The rest, obviously, we think, must have been pocketed somewhere. So that's just one minute example of how the average man in the street is being abused by the authorities. And I would expect anybody supporting the Palestinian people to stand up and say, hey, this is not okay.
It's absolutely incredible. And the other thing that I found fascinating was that there could never be, and she didn't give one iota of, there were no concessions. So when I said that, so for example, you know, Hamas raining rockets down on civilian populations in cities in Israel, there was no acknowledgement, not even a hint of acknowledgement to say, yes, that's wrong. Because obviously she doesn't feel that's wrong, or BDS doesn't feel that's wrong. And I found that fascinating, that there was a complete inability to see anything, or willingness rather, to see anything from a perspective outside of a very, very narrow and dangerous one, in my view.
I agree. We'll park that for a moment and let's talk about some chaos that went on yesterday in the Palestinian social media area and blogosphere. There were very, very strong rumors that Palestinian Authority leader Mahmoud Abbas had passed away. This really took hold in Palestinian social media. It was not reported in any of the Israeli press. But the interesting story was one surrounding an appearance by Mahmoud Abbas that was expected at a conference to take place in Ramallah yesterday. And one famous social media personality from the Palestinian side actually went as far as saying that if Mahmoud Abbas appeared at this particular conference, he would do his next video blog naked. That was how sure he was that Mahmoud Abbas had passed away. As it turned out, his address was given to the conference, although not in person. It was apparently undertaken over the phone, and there were even some photographs released supposedly of Mahmoud Abbas presenting to this conference over the phone, there are still some question marks around how real that is and whether that might not have been pre-recorded. We know Mahmoud Abbas is not in good health. He's 87 years old. There are lots and lots of rumors about his general state of health. He hasn't been seen in public for some time. So that was just going wild yesterday on social media. One more little snippet, if you will allow me, before we get into the main news, is that I personally had a fantastic experience last night attending the Andrea Bocelli concert in Tel Aviv, which was at the Bloomfield Stadium in Jaffa. An amazing, amazing event. But what I really loved so much was the fact that he invited Israeli artists to join him in concert alongside his own children, his daughter and his son, who also performed with him, along with the Israeli Philharmonic Orchestra, and of course Shiri Maimon, fantastic Israeli performer, and no less than former South African Chazan and baritone Colin Shachat, who also shared a stage last night with Andrea Bocelli, for the first time. I think the last time that Colin and Andrea sang together was in Italy about 4 years ago. So they also shared a stage. Really, really a fantastic performance and just a great feeling of atmosphere, you know, after having gone through such an extended period of lockdown and, you know, of concerts like this not taking place. Really, really, really nice just to be back again and just to feel that atmosphere.
Yeah, and we were actually talking a little bit earlier about when he sang Hallelujah with his daughter. Really just phenomenal. What an amazing evening.
As he
evening.
Did last night as yes, well.
Yes, yes, that's what we were talking
really
about.
Really amazing.
I believe it was just insane. Israel's governing coalition suffered further setbacks yesterday.
Yes, so this is not ending, unfortunately. And unfortunately, our government is not managing to do anything to kind of retake control and retake the reins. And yesterday was a very, very interesting example of something completely opposite from what had happened in the Knesset over the past few days. What happened yesterday was that the opposition introduced a bill which the governing coalition was wishing to oppose, and in the end were unable to oppose it because they couldn't muster enough votes in order to oppose the bill. Now, interestingly, this bill might be one that could be generally supported if, of course, the economy allows. And the bill that was presented for its first reading was one which increases the minimum wage in Israel to 40 shekels an hour. This is a bill that was actually sponsored by a member of Knesset from the joint list, Ahmed Tibi. He was the one who introduced it. And in the end, the bill did pass by 24 votes to 4, so really not a massive turnout in the Knesset. But the reason that there were so few people voting ultimately was simply because it was well understood by the governing coalition that they would have no way of opposing this bill. Now, from a social perspective, obviously, one feels that this would be a good thing in order to increase the minimum wage in Israel. There are so many people who live below the poverty line, and increasing the minimum wage for many would be a very good thing. On the other hand, one has to also consider what's happening in the economy right now, the fact that we're in a period where inflation is rising significantly, where prices are going up crazily, where everybody who wants to work actually does have a job, where there are masses of jobs out there available for people who wish to work. So we're not worried about people going without jobs. And by increasing the minimum wage, we could potentially fuel further inflation in our economy. So there are two sides, as always, to this particular coin. And unfortunately, the governing coalition were just unable to even stand up and oppose this, which, yes, you know, really sends bad messages in terms of their ability to continue to govern. It's not clear what their plans are. But of course, the country is going into something of an election kind of atmosphere, sensing that the governing coalition might not be able to last out more than another few weeks or even a few months. Whether they will be able to get even to the summer recess of the Knesset remains in question. Lots and lots of talk about what outcome a possible election may bring. An opinion poll that I saw yesterday quite interestingly suggested that the Likud opposition and all its supporting parties may well be able to muster 60 seats in the Knesset, which is still not a majority because, of course, 61 are required in order to form a government. But it is very much on the edge of potentially forming a majority, and came as a surprise to some people seeing that we had so many elections last year and the year before when the Likud were unable to get the majority that they need together. The thing that worries me, though, within this whole political crisis that we're experiencing right now is that it seems as if, though, the needs of the country are being set aside in favor of political populism. Mm-hmm. People just voting against things rather than considering each matter on its merits and voting in favor or against it because of the issue rather than because of who might be sponsoring the bill or who might be opposing it. So at the moment, we're just seeing lots and lots of infighting, not only between the parties, but indeed within the governing coalition, lots and lots of shenanigans coming out with various members of the coalition threatening other members about releasing information that might well have some criminal element to it if they do, you know, lots and lots of threats and counter threats between people. This is really not what politics should be about in terms of governing a country. It's certainly not what I see as being something which is to be proud of in terms of political conduct. And I just would like to somehow see a stable government which can just get on with the business of governing the country. Pretty much what we've had up until now over the last year from our governing coalition, but unfortunately that all seems to be falling apart very quickly indeed.
Yeah, very, very disappointing. Tensions with Iran continue to rise. What's the latest development here?
Are we tired of talking about Iran yet? Listeners, please dial in and let me know
I think we love talking about Iran. Look, it's an important conversation.
About.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's just so much going on with Iran. The latest, of course, is that the International Atomic Energy Agency has sanctioned Iran and really come out in criticism of Iran's conduct because they have not been cooperative with the International Atomic Energy Agency in terms of the inspections and in terms of the reporting that Iran is expected to do and cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Agency. Let's not forget something that I didn't have the chance to mention was that the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency actually visited Israel on Erev Shavuot, had a meeting with Prime Minister Naftali Bennett. So there is cooperation between Israel and the International Atomic Energy Agency. There are obviously two discussions to be held. One relates to Israel's undisclosed and not admitted to atomic activity nuclear reactor, which we know exists, but Israel has never publicly admitted to. That's one conversation. The second conversation obviously is about Iran. Yesterday, the International Atomic Energy Agency did come out in criticism of Iran. And in response to that, Iran decided that they're going to remove some of the cameras that are already set up and have already been monitoring activities, nuclear activities in Iran. Those are now going to be removed. The cooperation is completely disintegrating between Iran and the International Atomic Energy Agency. There are voices in Israel who say that any cooperation with Iran is better than no cooperation at all. They are people who feel that this a nuclear agreement with Iran and the international countries is a better option than a situation where we have no discourse with Iran, where Iran is effectively doing its own thing. And we seem to be going into that sort of a situation now where Iran is saying, all bets are off, take your cameras away, take your inspection away. We don't want to cooperate with you. We don't want to report to you in any way. We're just going to do our own thing. And in response to that, they've also said that they're going to increase their nuclear activity. They're going to put more centrifuges in place in order to move their program forward beyond what has been allowed, has been agreed to by the international community and, of course, by the International Atomic Energy Agency. Very, very concerning for Israel indeed. The other little snippet that has come out is that Israel has new capabilities which could potentially help it in the event that it wished to carry out an attack against Iran. We now have these stealth fighters, the F-35s, which we've bought from the United States. Apparently, those stealth fighters are able to fly to Iran and back without the need to refuel. That's the first time that we've heard that bit of information. In addition to that, they're able to carry these massive bombs that have been specifically built in Israel by an Israeli defense industry company for the purposes of being carried by the stealth fighter, so that the stealth fighter can not only get to Iran and back without refueling, and also can still fly below the radar so that the carrying of that particular bomb, which is of substantial size, does not reveal the aircraft to a potential monitoring and surveillance in the region. Of course, that's the main advantage of these stealth fighters. So that little piece of information has come out. And of course, just because we don't want to be bored, apparently the Mossad has been accused of hacking the Tehran municipality website, perhaps even going into being able to hack some of the cameras that have been set up by the Tehran municipality, and also apparently defaced some of their websites. So apparently this is a cyber attack that's been carried out, we understand, at least from the accusations that have been made by the Mossad on the Tehran municipality. And yeah, unfortunately, the story of Iran just won't go away anytime quickly. So there are always some interesting things to add in. And, you know, I hope that people are not getting too bored of it, because it just repeats itself so much.
Yeah, but it's an important one nevertheless. Tell us about Gay Pride tomorrow in the Pride March in Tel Aviv.
So tomorrow is Gay Pride Day in Tel Aviv. Traditionally, Gay Pride Day in Tel Aviv is a very, very big event. Unfortunately, over the past few years, as everybody will already be aware, they haven't been able to hold this event to the same extent that it is being held this year. So Gay Pride is really back in Tel Aviv, and it's noticeable how the entire city of Tel Aviv is decked out in the rainbow colors of the Gay Pride movement, flags up everywhere, and there will be visitors from abroad, perhaps not quite as many as was the case pre-pandemic times, but certainly a lot more than we've seen over the last couple of years. So Tel Aviv is expecting an influx today and over the weekend of visitors who have traditionally come to celebrate Gay Pride Day and Gay Pride Weekend in Tel Aviv. It seems somewhat ironic to some people that Tel Aviv is such a gay a friendly city, given that Israel in general has a certain conservative side to it and a certain conservative reputation because of the religious aspects. And of course, you feel that very strongly when you go to a city like Jerusalem, and yet Tel Aviv is 180 degrees different from that, and certainly very, very welcoming and very committed to being as equal and open as possible to welcome all people. And it's well known that Tel Aviv is a city which has many, many gay residents, people who have single-sex relationships and children who are being raised in those types of relationships, for better or for worse. And I'm not drawing any judgments one way or the other on it. I'm just making a statement of fact as it is. Tel Aviv is that type of city. And of course, it will be very, very busy in Tel Aviv over the weekend. It's nice to have the tourists back, absolutely. Our economy can absolutely do with return and the influx of the tourist economy. And it certainly promises to be a very festive weekend in Tel Aviv.
Absolutely fantastic. Anthony Reich, that's where we leave it. Thank you, as always, wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom. And of course, we'll catch you on Monday morning at 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.